fans, but it's coming, I'm sure. I want you guys to say a prayer today for our sister Sherry Monnington and also for Austin. They are both at the Taze Valley Kmart working their last shift. They will close their doors for good at 3 o'clock today. And I know, I talked to Sherry the other night, I was in there, and I know without a doubt she's looking forward to having her first Christmas season off in over 20 years, probably to spend it with her grandchildren, I would imagine. And Austin's going to start a new chapter. You can find him beginning this Thursday at the Hurricane McDonald's. So if you go in there, be sure and give him a hard time when you go in there. But just pray for him as new chapters begin. I know God has great things in store. Well, Thanksgiving's over. Everybody get plenty of turkey, plenty of pumpkin pie, plenty of all those things. I know I did. And everyone, I assume, survived the craziness of Black Friday. Do we have any bumps or bruises or any scars from that? It's sometimes an exciting time. From here on out, we're in the Christmas season. And as Gabe said, I love this time of year as well. So much good is done for so many this time of year. I love the Christmas season. If Valendi would allow it, I would put our trees up in September. But I can assure you she will not allow that. But I would if I could. December 9th will be our church Christmas party, and the kids are working on a play, and it's going to be very exciting, so plan to be here for that. But as we lead up to the Christmas season, we're going to start a new sermon series called Lessons from Carols. We're going to look at some of the most well-known Christmas carols, and we're going to study the story behind the song and talk about some lessons we can learn from the carols that we've been singing all of our lives. And we're going to start with the song Silent Night. Have y'all ever heard that song before, Silent Night? It's one we all know. Well, Joseph Moore was the leader of a Catholic church in a mountainous village in Austria. And there's just a handful of people that went to this church, and way up in the mountains. And it was the Christmas season was coming on, and Joseph Moore had a problem, a big problem. The year was 1818, and the church organ was broken. And it could not be used for the Christmas service. It just wasn't time to fix it. So Joseph was very stressed. The traditional songs they used for the Christmas Eve Mass couldn't be used. And he didn't know what he was going to do. So he did what anybody does who's stressed. He went to a play to try to get his mind off of it. December 23rd, 1818, he went to a nativity play. And while he was there, he was inspired by the actors in the play and, of course, the story. So he went home and he lit his lamp and he penned the words to the song we know as Silent Night. The next morning, Christmas Eve morning, Joseph Moore went to the house of a man named Franz Gruber. Gruber was the church organist. And he asked Gruber to wed the words he'd written to a melody. Well, since the church organ was broken, Gruber made up a melody to be used with a guitar. And that night at the Christmas Eve service, Moore and Gruber sang the song Silent Night at the midnight mass. Now, Moore and Gruber never intended for this song to ever be sang again. They never intended for anybody outside of this little mountain village to even hear this song. In fact, once their organ was fixed, they planned to go back to their old traditional songs. Well, a few days after Christmas, an organ repairman came by the church to fix the organ. And as he was working on the organ, he asked Moore, he said, "What did you guys do for your Christmas Eve service?" And Moore showed him the copy of Silent Night and explained the music to him. And the organ repairman was very impressed, and he took down a copy of the song. And when he would go to service his other customers, he would give them a copy of the song Silent Night. And before long, Silent Night was spread all over Austria and all over Germany. And in 1839, for the very first time, Silent Night was performed in America by a group of Austrian singers. And they sang these words we all know. Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. Son of God loves pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Don't you love those words? You know, it's such a beautiful song, but it's a very simple song as well. And it captures the story of Jesus' birth. But what lessons can we learn from these words? Well, first of all, we can learn that out of brokenness, God reveals his beauty. Do you believe that? Out of brokenness, God reveals his beauty. If this church organ hadn't been broken, I doubt any of us would ever know the words to a song called Silent Night. Think about that. Someone once wrote this. God makes of our tears a rainbow, of our thorns a crown, and of our dark nights a path upon which his love shines with an uncommon radiance. You see, oftentimes it's out of the broken things in our lives that God shows us his beauty and his blessings. You ever experience that? Out of our brokenness, God can teach us so much. Maybe you're facing a struggle today. Maybe you're facing a trial. Maybe all this talk of the holidays has you down because things in your life are going difficult. We get there sometimes, don't we? We have those issues. Rather than letting our fears paralyze us, ask God this morning, God, what are you trying to teach me out of my brokenness? What are you trying to teach me from my brokenness? Paul faced hardship in his life, didn't he? We sometimes equate Paul to this spiritual giant, and he was, but he was human. And he suffered, and he faced hardship. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. There was a thorn in Paul's flesh. And although God didn't remove this thorn from Paul, we know he did help Paul understand why it was given to him. It was there to keep him from exalting himself. It was there to keep him relying upon God. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I've made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. You see, the Lord taught Paul that his grace would be sufficient for Paul's weaknesses, for his brokenness. And the same is true for us. If you're here today and you're broken, and we all are, remember, God's grace can sustain you, and it can mature you. Joseph in the Old Testament had a rough life, didn't he? Y'all remember Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. He was falsely accused. He was put in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Joseph was a boy who, by our standards, grew up broken. His life was a state of brokenness, one broken event after another. But you know what? That's not how Joseph's story ended, was it? If you're here today and you belong to Jesus, that's not how your story is going to end either. You see, it was through his experiences and through his trials and through his sufferings that he gained the knowledge and the wisdom and the experience he needed to become second only to Pharaoh in all the land. And to his brothers who sold him into slavery, he says in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives." In other words, Joseph says, you guys intended to break me, but God used it for good, and now lives, your very lives, are being saved because what God did through my brokenness. If you're facing brokenness this morning, remember that God has one goal in mind for your brokenness, and that is a spiritual victory. You know, had it not been for the thorn in Paul's flesh, maybe he would have lost his focus. Maybe he would have eventually turned away from God. We don't know. Had it not been for Joseph's brokenness, he would have never been able to save his brothers in the land from a famine. Had it not been for a broken organ, we would never know the words to Silent Night. Think of all the lives that would have never been touched by those beautiful words if that organ in 1818 hadn't been broken. Now let's make it a little more personal. If not for your brokenness, God would not be able to turn your weaknesses into strengths and your struggles into his glory. And he does that, church, through the hope we have in Jesus. Trust him. Trust him and watch him use your brokenness for his beauty. We also see in this psalm a lesson about silence and peace. Do y'all have a lot of silence and peace in your lives right now? Me. It's not always a bad thing, right? But sometimes our lives are anything but silent and peaceful. The night Jesus was born, do you think that was a silent and peaceful night? Think about it. Think about the scene. You've got this small town of Bethlehem bursting with people, just jam-packed, kind of like Walmart on Friday morning. Just jam-packed with people. Caravans of extended families all coming in for this Roman-required census. Now, for some families, it was probably a good thing because they got to see family members and maybe have little reunions right there when they all came to town. And for other families, maybe it wasn't such a good time because they got to have family reunions with all the families coming around. But it was chaotic, and it was stressful. And they still had the oppression of the Roman rule and what this census might ultimately mean for all of them. Was this really a silent night? Was it really a holy night? In the midst of all that chaos, what may have made it so? You thought about that? You see, that night, Jesus, the Christ, was born. And with his birth, heavenly peace arrived. And it came in a way no one would have ever thought. It came in a way no one would have ever chosen. And this song highlights the peace we can have because of Jesus' birth. It describes the peace that existed at that moment, even though everything around him was chaotic. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. We see some different types of peace as this song illustrates. And again, this song isn't scripture. It's not God-inspired. It was written, as we said, in 1818. But it helps highlight some of the lessons we learn from scripture. We see a virgin mother's peace on display in this song. Think about all the stress and all the confusion and all the chaos of having a baby in a barn, in a stable. The uncertainties that Mary had about her future, and all of the whispers of the scandal of the pregnancy and this teenage virgin mother. But in the midst of all that, Mary was able to have, through her whole pregnancy, a peace that surpassed all understanding. She was at peace in the most difficult circumstances she'd ever faced. Peace in the future of herself. But how? How did Mary have this peace? Well, it's because she chose, I think, amidst all the questions, amidst all the uncertainties, amidst all the pressure she was facing, she chose to believe and accept God's words. That's the key. We read in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I love that, church. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, remember verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. From a young Mary, a young virgin mother, we can learn that the source to peace in our hearts is not based on what's going on around us. It couldn't be. What was going on around Mary was chaos. But it comes from within. It comes from living lives of faithfulness according to God's word. If you're not at peace this morning, look at God's word. Listen to his promises. Ask for that peace in prayer. This song highlights the peace of a virgin mother. We also see in this song a child's peace. Is there anything in all creation more beautiful than a child at peace? I've learned a little bit about that this week. It's beautiful. We read in Psalm 22, 9 and 10, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. You know the key to a child's peace? There's a reason we're told to become like little children in our faith. The key to a child's peace is absolute and complete trust in God. We see a child's peace highlighted here. We see in the song Silent Night, mankind's peace. The comforting words, sleep in heavenly peace. When we sing this song at Christmas time and we sing the word sleep in heavenly peace, we probably most often apply that to baby Jesus sleeping in the manger, right? And I think that's appropriate. But you know the words sleep in heavenly peace? That can be God's lullaby for all of us who are Christians. Have you ever laid awake at night worried? You ever wake up in the middle of the night and something hits you like a freight train and can't go back to sleep? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're wondering what's going to happen to your job. Maybe you're worried about your health or the health of someone you love. Maybe you're worried about how you're going to pay the bills. Maybe you're worried about family issues. So many thoughts capture us at night and our minds race. And we worry about the uncertainty and we worry about impossibilities. May this song remind us that when we are in Christ, because of Christ, no matter what, we can sleep in heavenly peace. We can sleep in heavenly peace no matter what's going on around us, because this world, everything is absolutely in Christ's hands. He has all power and authority. And you know what? He's already done everything necessary for your salvation. Amen? He's already done everything necessary to save us. If Jesus can bring peace and silence into the chaos surrounding his own birth, then don't you think he can bring peace and silence into my struggles and into your lives and your hardships? You see, the peace of mankind doesn't depend on the present state of our world. And I'm thankful for that more every day. Because this world's in bad shape, isn't it? This world's in bad shape. Our peace doesn't depend on this world. It doesn't depend on those in Washington or those in Charleston or those here around us. The peace that mankind can experience depends completely on Jesus. It depends completely on our faith in him. In Jesus, we find peace and silence no matter what struggles we face. You know, there was nothing normal about this child or his birth. In fact, it was unique. It was miraculous. It was amazing. Dr. Charles Hardwick says the following: "On that silent night, God kept his promise. The God of the universe became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. He moved into a stable. He moved into a feeding trough. God is still keeping promises like this because Jesus still moves into neighborhoods." Church, these words are very true. But the truth goes even beyond these words. Because Jesus not only moves into neighborhoods, but he moves into hearts, doesn't he? And when he moves into hearts, he makes a change, and he lives there, and he protects, and he guides, and he seeks to replace what's inside of us with something far better, with himself, with God's Spirit. Now, sometimes we doubt, and we believe Satan's lies, and we say, you know what? God, Jesus, he could never live in my heart. My heart's too messy. My thoughts are too bad. My past is too messed up. When you think those things, when you're doubting whether God can save you, remember this is the same God who came into this world and was born in a stable, in an overbursting town that wasn't ready for the influx of people. He came to this town, to this area, to be born in a barn and to be placed into a feeding trough. We learned so many lessons about the way Jesus came into this earth, but one big lesson we should take away: there is nowhere Jesus won't go to save souls. You should amen on that. There's nowhere Jesus won't go to save souls. Amen. Including your heart, my heart, our lives. You see, there's no place he won't go to bring about change if we let him. Are your nights silent and holy? You know they can be. Have you accepted Jesus by being baptized into him? Let God bless you. Let God bless others. Let God glorify himself through your brokenness. Just like this world was blessed when a church organ was broken in 1818. Let God give you his peace through Jesus. Become a Christian this morning. And when you become a Christian, you will have accepted the greatest gift mankind has ever been given. And that is the gift of a life with God, but a life for eternity. Knowing that your Savior, who came to this world in the most humble way, is busy now preparing your home in heaven. If you want that for your life today, you can leave here with it. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, you're broken, and you want prayers for God's peace, you want prayers for God's guidance, that's what we're here for. We're not just here to get dressed up in our best clothes and sing some beautiful songs, although that's great. We're here to worship God, and we're here to encourage and uplift and help keep each other moving and focused. So if there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.